more joy.
Blog Talk Radio.
As we prepare,
women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talent, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And to my yoga family, I say Sat Nam and Namaste. And my favorite greeting, Shalom. Shalom. Welcome, welcome, everyone. This is September 23rd, 2022. I believe if you add all those numbers up, I believe it's a 9. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the number 9 is a time in the womb, time in the universe to give birth to something wonderful. We're going to give birth to truth today, wonderful truth about the prevention of a dis-ease, a disease. I had a friend recently who was diagnosed with what they call the cancer. Myeloma, it's cancer in the blood. So I'm going to share with you about her experience so far and what we can do to prevent the hell that she has to go through right now. And so that's what it's all about, is becoming knowledgeable. And really part of it is, what are you nourishing? Are you nourishing old wounds? Are you nourishing this sacred, powerful temple? That's part of the question and the answer to our today's show. Can we prevent cancer? What are you nourishing? Are you staying in the present, being mindful, nourishing this wonderful sacred temple, or are you nourishing old wounds? And then the other question we ask is, are you eating every day, or are you nourishing the temple? Those are some of the questions we're asking. And we've got answers, so come on, we've got a lot to talk about. So let's go and put on our, excuse me, we're going to put on some music. I'm going to stop talking for a little bit while we roll some joints. I know that's what you came here for. And my favorite music is It's Time for Healing. This is a tune by The Sounds of Blackness. I love this music because the words speak to us about the times we're in and how we can promote love and joy to the solution to many of our problems. So let's get busy. We're going to do some breathing first. Let's just do some breathing in and out. Breathe in, breathe in, breathe in. Hold it at the top, and then exhale, exhale, exhale. Hold it at the bottom. Breathe in from the belly, not the chest, but breathe in from the belly. Hold it, hold it, hold it, and exhale, exhale, hold it at the bottom. Breathe in, breathe in, breathe in, breathe in. Get that good-ass prana in you. Breathe in, breathe in. Hold it, hold it, hold it, and exhale one more time before we roll these joints. Breathe in, good breath in, breathe in, breathe in. Through the nose, breathe in, breathe in, breathe in, hold it, hold it, hold it. Get all that oxygen circulating in your body, circulating love and joy to every part of our body. And exhale, 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 hold it at the bottom. We give thanks to our breath this morning, a gift from the cosmic energy force of the Creator. So now we want to put some music on, and we're going to roll our head around to stretch out the muscles in our neck. And then we're going to roll our shoulders around and do some swimming in the prana nature. And then we'll get on our backs, kick our legs and arms up, roll our joints, our wrists and our ankles. And then we go to our knees and our elbows, and then we roll over to our side and roll, move our leg around the road to generate some synovial fluid in our hips. And then we'll roll over to the other side, and we'll come back up at the end of the song to love on our vagus nerve. So let's get busy with some neck rolling.
Healing through our
just did a fly session. First, love yourself. And let's just rub our hands together. Place those hands in the back of the neck. Squeeze and release. Love on your vagus nerve. Your vagus nerves need some love every day. It's like a trunk of a tree. This is a hug, tree hugging time. Hug the tree, the vagus nerve. Hug the vagus nerve as it branches out all over the body to give, send energy, to send the energy of love and compassion. All right, let's just tap down those arms. Give them a little love tap. Tap the chest, your thymus gland here in the middle of your chest. Need that revved up for the winter time. Get those breaths, hug those breaths. Touch, touch, release those breaths. And then just give your microbiome community down there a nice rub, rub, rub-a-dub, rub-a-dub-dub. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give thanks, congratulations. You have warmed up the body. Let's go back to my studio and let's get this party started. All right, we did it. Welcome, welcome everyone to Health and Wellbeing with Viada. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And my topic today has had me thinking quite a bit because I have a friend who was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, which is a cancer of the blood. When a person gets that diagnosis, they have seen cancer cells in the blood. So what does that mean? That means that the body has been releasing certain chemicals from the brain, actually, that have told the body to produce these cells. Why? Well, according to my friend who had this diagnosis, I talked to her, and she's in her 70s. So it's really interesting to see what a great attitude she has, because she's been promoting a particular multi-level vitamin for several years. And to be diagnosed with this type of cancer, she says, well, if she wasn't taking these vitamins, she probably would not be here. So I give her kudos for having a good attitude. And right now she's going through a lot of, she's been through chemo. She was in the hospital for 4 months. She's now going through radiation and waiting for her daughter to do a stem cell replacement. And she said, when I asked her, had she thought about the root cause of this cancer? We can talk like that. She and I have a good relationship. And she said she remembers something about the relationship with her ex-husband that she did not heal. She actually said, I thought about it, and yes, I held on to some emotions around something in her with her ex-husband that she did not forgive herself for. Whoa, that was huge. Unforgiveness is what the topic was with my friend who has been diagnosed with a cancer that she has gone through. She was actually in the hospital for 4 months. That's how serious it became. So that's why we want to talk about, can we prevent that type of thing? Well, one of the things that we can think about is forgiveness. As my friend has very wisely confessed, she believes contributed to her own. And it's forgiveness of the self that she's, it's not so much the ex-husband she was talking about, but she couldn't really completely forgive herself. So all those years of holding on to unforgiveness about something you said or did, that's what she believed contributed to her own diagnosis of acute myeloid leukemia, cancer in the blood. And cancer in the blood is really, that's a deep emotional root for, in my experience, and it talks about, it really is about lack of love and forgiveness for yourself. Even though you might be doing all these things out here, for her situation, she believed it was about unforgiving. Now, I want to start, because of her, my experience with her, my relationship with her, I want to help all of us get to the root of this, right? But first, I have some health news that I have to share with you, because this is one of the reasons why we need to prevent cancer. Because the health news out there that we see every day is telling us we need to prevent cancer. Because the odds are really against you if you don't pay attention to your emotional health and loving yourself and keeping this biological computer in its best form. So I just have, before we get into the prevention of cancer, I want to just share these news items with you that you may not be aware of that are telling us why we need to try and prevent cancer, because the odds are against us outside of ourselves. That's why we need to go in and build up the kingdom to prevent the effects of the elements outside of ourselves. So this first news item, I believe this is from Mercola.com. How Biden's new health department could make us a digital dictatorship. So the government has health department of the government is totally confused, in my opinion, and not really addressing our personal needs. So this article really brings that home, that the current sitting president proposed a plan for a new health agency. Boy, oh boy, we need to get rid of all sick agencies in the government. But he's proposed a plan, a health agency that would drive the U.S. down a futuristic road that would lead to cures for cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and other diseases. The blogger who wrote this, Whitney Webb, warned us that the new biomedical research agency, modeled after the nation's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, already we should be suspect, DARPA, is a plan to merge national security with health, quote, security, in a way that will use both physical and mental health warning signs to prevent outbreaks of disease or violence before they occur. It's a recipe for a technocratic pre-crime organization with the potential to criminalize both mental and physical illness as well as wrong. Webb predicted. Now the agency coined the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health is well on its way to being up and running with $1 billion from Congress to start. Government officials only need to iron out details such as what programs and activities it will engage in and, of course, what appropriate current and future funding will be needed to run it. In other news, a task force has recommended that all U.S. adults ages 65 and under should be screened for mental health issues. Is this a forerunner for Webb's prediction of how the government will detect, quote, pre-crimes? Now, there's a lot of movies and Netflix series about the government getting into predicting who's going to commit a crime. And believe me, this sounds like it. I don't know about you, but having some type of mental and physical health screening that they're going to put data in the computer to predict who is going to commit a crime. So there you go. There's our government working really hard to prevent cancer, right? I don't think so. So another article talking about eating. You know, I said up front in the beginning of the show, are you nourishing your body or are you just eating? That's one of the keys to preventing cancer. And this rat feeding study suggests that a, quote, impossible burger may not be safe to eat. Impossible burger, the plant-based, quote, meat endorsed and financed by Bill Gates, you know, the one who's vaccinating all the African and Indian people and killing, he's now promoting a plant-based meat product, really good, right? Financed by him, found to cause signs of toxicity in rats that ate it in a study. A key ingredient in the Impossible Burger is a soy leguminoglobulin, SLH, which is supposed to make it taste and bleed like real meat. Oh, my. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration initially refused to sign off on the safety of SLH when it first approached by the company. GM Watch reported, quote, "The rat feeding study results suggest that the agency's concerns were justified. Rats fed the GM yeast-derived product developed unexplained changes in weight gain, changes in the blood that can indicate the onset of inflammation or kidney disease, and possible signs of anemia. Another ingredient added after the product hit the market was herbicide-resistant soy protein." Yay! We love it. "Which GMR said raises concerns about glyphosate residues in it. Bottom line, for Impossible Burger or any type of burger they're trying to make taste like meat, avoid it like the plague." Okay, critics call for end to Gates and Rockefeller food program in Africa. Here we go again, Bill and Melinda Gates trying to feed the population of the world, right? No, they can't do it. They can't do it because we want to nourish the body to prevent cancer. We don't want to feed, eat. We want to nourish the body, which is incorporating more than just what you put in your mouth. So a Green Revolution program meant to increase agricultural yields and help feed starving people in Africa has failed miserably. Here we are. We're on the globe now. Africa. We're talking about Africa. How Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates and the Rockefeller, let's not leave the Rockefeller Foundation out. Hundreds of university graduates in crop breeding spent 16 years helping farmers use commercial fertilizers and seeds to increase food production. The bottom line, however, according to Politico Pro, is the, quote, "aim to get African farmers to use more synthetic fertilizers," end quote. Now, there's a report that's been going on that Bill Gates is buying up a lot of land in the United States. Guess what he's planning to do? Probably something like this. He failed in Africa, so now he's coming to get us in the Americas. But now with poverty still entrenched in the African continent and farmers, quote, at the mercy of volatile global markets, Gabriel Maniangadzadze of the Southern African Faith Communities Environment Institute is demanding that the Green Revolution program end. Good for you, Maniangadzadze. Well, a Gates Foundation spokesperson insisted the program, quote, is playing a critical role in helping countries implement the priorities and policies contained in their national agricultural development strategies. Doesn't that sound just like Bill Gates to bring in all those important words to tell him how helpful he's being to you poor Africans, poverty-stricken Africans? And here, let's not leave out Rockefeller spokesperson likened the situation to lesson, quote, we can take into our future world. So far, however, the ag group's response is to stop mentioning fertilizer so much and instead promote the commercial seeds they want the farmers to use. Oh, boy. So globally, we've got Rockefellers and the Gates trying to poison the whole planet. Let's keep that in mind as you see anything about the foundation, beautiful foundations that the Gates and the Rockefellers are promoting, these entrepreneurs, these people who want to do just good all over the planet. No. Okay, another global news item. Louisiana, we're back in the United States, Southern Louisiana in the United States, repeals school COVID shot mandate. Yay for Louisiana. In a victory for parents and children alike, the Louisiana Department of Health has rescinded its school mandate for COVID shots. Woo-hoo-hoo! I mean, wow, the president said the pandemic is over. So why aren't every state in the nation doing this type of thing? But in Louisiana, it was also a victory in kind for Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, who fought the mandate from the beginning. He said, quote, child medical decisions should be made by their guardians, not the government. Yes. Landry said in a public announcement, I hope this health freedom victory reminds everyone what can happen when we all work together. When citizens are engaged and get involved, their government will listen. And then here is another report of the Gates trying to influence the global population. Bill Gates and his partners took over the global COVID response. So the article points out, for anybody wondering how the world, whole world joined together behind the scenes to combat COVID-19, this group, Politico, has a disturbing investigation showing that just four groups took the power from the most powerful nations and ran with it. The largest and most powerful was, again, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, one of the largest philanthropies in the world. Then there was Gavi, the global vaccine organization that Gates helped to found to inoculate people in low-income nations, and the Wellcome Trust, a British research foundation with a multi-billion dollar endowment that had worked with the Gates Foundation. And then finally, there was the Coalition for the Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, or CEPI, the International Vaccine Research and Development Group. So we are, the article concludes, this is the worst kind of influence, not just because it's, quote, money, 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 although that's important because money shouldn't dictate policies, but also because it's preferential access behind closed doors. So that's just a little item to help us understand what's behind these plandemics, in case some of you are still thinking it was just an innocent little occurrence of a virus showing up and beneficiary philanthropies like Bill Gates trying to help us overcome it. There was all about money, 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 money. And four big organizations are pointed out in this article. Now, last but not least, Biden said the pandemic is over. What does that mean? He said the coronavirus pandemic is over in an interview last Sunday on TV, pointing to the return of large events, lack of masks, no masks needed, but why are people still wearing masks? I keep asking. And other public health measures in place now. The pandemic's over, he told 60 Minutes from Detroit. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it, but the pandemic is over. Woo-hoo! In case you didn't hear, the pandemic is over. No need to go out and let's see, make sure I'm still online here. What happened? I don't see my, am I still on, okay, let me see. Oh, there we are. Okay, I'm still here. Okay, so those were just a few articles that I wanted to bring up for you to help us understand the background noise and the COVID craziness that shows up and why we need to prevent disease like cancer. Because the systems, the government, the media, the education, and the global systems of this world are not interested in preventing any disease. It's up to us to do that. So I hope that information was helpful to you. We're going to go now to some commercials. And when we come back, we're going to hear from some experts on how to prevent cancer. We have audios that I want to share with you. And I also want to share a scripture with you that describes how to prevent cancer, a particular scripture that I've always had on one of my charts on how we prevent disease in general. So we'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Morning on health and well-being with Beata. So our topic today really comes from not only a dear friend who's struggling with acute myeloid leukemia right now and going through radiation and stem cell treatment, and but also another person I talked to this week who has developed cancer, diagnosed with cancer, and the news that the cancer rates are up again. Why did that happen? Well, we just want to work with you, help you, give you some tips on how to prevent it, because once you get that diagnosis, you have to deal with the fear that comes from it. And most doctors will keep the fear going so they can make money on the treatments. So I've been 67 years ago, I was born into the Church of God in Christ. My grandfather was a preacher. So all my life, I've heard the word, read the word, and I love the scriptures, but I've seen the scriptures in a whole different light as I've journeyed through marriage, having children, and then doing the work I do as a life coach. So this scripture, I want to read this scripture to you, for those of you who know the Bible or who have heard the Bible or who understand what the Bible represents, wisdom. This scripture has always been in my mind to teach us how to prevent cancer, one of many. But this one in particular, I've read over and over again with my position as a practitioner in German New Medicine. So I want to just share this with you, see how this feels in your mind, and then I'm going to just show you why this scripture is so important for us to understand and prevent cancer. So it's from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 43. This scripture reads like this. When the they set their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost by my doorpost with the wall between them and me. They defiled my holy name by the abominations which they committed before. Therefore, I have consumed them in anger. Now, this is a scripture talking about the Creator or the God of Israel expressing what his, how he sees the people on earth, okay? So in verse 9, he says, now let them put their harlotry and carcasses of their kings far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Son of man, this is the really where it starts explaining how to prevent cancer. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities and let them measure the pattern. Measure the pattern. If they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its laws, all its forms and all its laws. Write it down in their sight, so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. Now, I read that many, many years ago as a young woman, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, the temple in Israel and all that. But as I experienced life and as I studied health and nutrition, and guess what? I realize that it's talking about this body. This is the law of the temple. So what I began to study is the law of the temple. And behind me, if you can see this chart, that is what I believe represents the law of the temple. This chart, which is wall size, as you can see, this is a wall size chart on the law of the temple. And these are the laws. These are all the diseases and how the body responds when we have these symptoms show up in our body that show up in our body. Now, I want to just play a brief audio about the temple. What is it about the law of the temple that we need to know? Because this is what is going to help us avoid cancer. And it starts with what I play, human body 101. This is the law of the temple. Show the entrances and the exits. And this, if you can really appreciate, love, and honor what this audio is teaching us, then that's the start in my mind and my understanding of the law of the temple. Here we go.
The human body is a complex network of cells, tissues, and organs that together make life possible. 10 major systems are responsible for the body's functions: skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, nervous, endocrine, lymphatic, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive. The skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, and nervous systems in particular create an infrastructure that facilitates the other systems. The adult skeletal system is a framework of over 200 bones. They hold the body together, give it shape, and protect its organs and tissues. The skeleton also provides anchor points for the muscular system, which includes three types of muscles: skeletal, smooth, and cardiac. They are found throughout the body and facilitate movement. Nestled within these muscles is the cardiovascular system, a pipeline that includes the heart, blood vessels, and the blood itself. Also called the circulatory system, the cardiovascular system delivers oxygen, white blood cells, hormones, and nutrients throughout the body. Lastly, the nervous system is a communication network of nerve cells that the body uses to transmit information and coordinate bodily functions. It's comprised of the brain, the hub of sensory and intellectual activity, the spinal cord, and the many cranial and spinal nerves that emanate from them. This infrastructure, created by neurons, blood, muscles, and bones, allows three other systems to regulate the body's environment, the endocrine, lymphatic, and urinary systems. The endocrine system is a series of glands that use information carried by the nervous system to help regulate the body's processes. Thanks to this neural connection, endocrine glands, such as the thyroid, are aware of the amount of hormones and other chemicals they need to produce. These chemicals are then distributed throughout the body by way of the cardiovascular system. The cardiovascular and nervous systems are also utilized by the lymphatic system, a collection of lymph nodes and vessels that help regulate the body's defenses. Also called the immune system, the lymphatic system uses neural pathways to transmit information about affected areas of the body and then sends out healing agents like white blood cells via the bloodstream. Another key regulatory system is the urinary system, which includes the kidneys, ureters, bladder, and urethra. The urinary, or renal system, maintains the body's electrolyte levels and filters waste from the blood. This waste is sent through the blood vessels into the kidneys and then expelled as urine. All of these systems require energy to function, and that's where the respiratory and digestive systems come in. The respiratory system is a group of passageways and organs that extracts life-giving oxygen from the air we breathe. Air enters the body through nasal cavities, travels down the throat, and is then transported to the lungs. The lungs extract oxygen for the body to use and then expel a carbon dioxide byproduct when we exhale. Energy can also come in the form of food. The digestive system is an approximately 30-foot series of organs that convert food into fuel. Food enters the system through the mouth, then moves into the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestines. Nutrients are absorbed into the body while solid waste is expelled through the anal canal, the end of the digestive tract. No matter the role, size, or shape of any of the body's systems, each began with the reproductive system. This system is responsible for creating life. The primary organs involved differ between the sexes, with ovaries, fallopian tubes, the uterus, and vagina found in women, and testes and a sperm channel found in men. Together, fertilization may occur, organ systems form, and then a child is born. Humans are complicated organisms, but when our 10 major organ systems are healthy, they ensure our well-being.
So that teaching gives us Ezekiel 43, where Ezekiel 43 points out that we should make known the design of the temple, its arrangements, its exits and entrances, its entire design, all its ordinance, all the forms, all the law. Write it down in their sight. Well, this man, Dr. Reike Harmer, wrote all the systems down in this chart behind me called German New Medicine. Now, it's one thing to be aware of this complex network and have respect for this temple and the 10 systems and know how the air and the food enter and exit and all that, but we have lost sight of the real meaning of nourishment of the body temple. And that's what we want to talk about in the next hour or so, about how we nourish this temple to prevent disease like cancer. And part of that nourishment is not just eating to nourish, but it's really more about consciousness. But I want to just play for you what over the last, let's say, 7-10 years, what we've been told. What have we been told about cancer, how to prevent cancer? Some of this information is so outdated, and it's only maybe 10 years old. Some of these are 10 years old. There's even one about a miracle, medical miracle, that was only, I think, 3 years, so actually this year, and it's still outdated. So I want to just share with you some of the teachings, some of the messages that we have gotten from the systems of the world. Now, we're talking about this, the 10 systems inside this temple that are what we need to focus on to activate prevention of disease. But the systems of man have been created to almost confuse us. We have become so confused because these systems of man have been telling us how to prevent disease from an outside perspective versus internal kingdom, creator, system, cosmic perspective. Here's one from Australia, for instance.
Yes, it's certainly possible to reduce the risk of cancer. There's a number of very sensible activities and pursuits that the everyday public can undertake to reduce their risk of cancer, both in the short and long term. So here are 10 cancer prevention tips that everyone can participate in to reduce their risk of cancer. Firstly, stop or never start smoking. That's fairly sensible advice. If you need any help to stop smoking, certainly your GP can help you with a number of evidence-based strategies that can help you stop smoking. Secondly, exercise. We now know that exercise reduces the risk of cancer, a number of cancers, and also improves the prognosis of people that do have cancer. Every cancer patient should have an exercise prescription to help them get back on their feet and be healthy. Thirdly, moderate your alcohol consumption. Excess alcohol does contribute to cancer on a number of different cancers on a number of different levels, and moderate alcohol consumption is recommended. Fourthly, know your family history. If there's someone in your family who has had cancer, it's always worthwhile talking to your family doctor to understand if there's anything you can do to prevent that cancer or diagnose it early. Fifthly, wear sunscreen. We're all aware of slip, slop, slap, and we know how important for Australians sun damage prevention is. Melanoma is a devastating disease, as are a number of other skin cancers, and wearing sunscreen and avoiding the sun during the high UV periods is a very sensible piece of advice for all Australians. Sixthly, get immunised, especially young men and women who have access to the papillomavirus vaccine, as well as getting immunized against hepatitis B, A, B, and C can also contribute to cancer risk reduction. Seventhly, practice safe sex. There are a number of sexually transmitted viruses that may contribute to cervix cancer in particular. Eight, get regular checkups. Early diagnosis always helps with a number of cancers. Nine, limit your consumption of red meat, in particular barbecued or burnt red meat, which is thought to contribute to a number of bowel-related malignancies. And number 10, maintain a healthy weight. If you have any trouble maintaining...
That information is only about, I think it's a three-year-old audio, totally outdated, totally, in my opinion. You remember Christopher Reeve's wife got lung cancer and she never smoked a day in her life. So telling people to stop smoking, I mean, those are, if you love the temple, again, we go back to Ezekiel 43. If you love the temple, if you understand how the temple works, you're not going to smoke. But to give all the, and get immunized, oh my goodness, that's a system that many people have been listening to, and they're diagnosed with cancer all the time because we've been listening to the wrong system. Here's another very short one on from MD Anderson. Oh my goodness. 6 years ago, they give 8 ways to reduce your risk of cancer.
Research tells us that up to 1/2 of cancer cases are preventable through healthy lifestyle behaviors. You can reduce your risk for cancer by following these 8 recommendations. Being overweight or obese can increase your risk for several types of cancer. You can reduce your risk by maintaining a healthy weight. Eating a healthy diet can help you stay lean. Fill 2/3 of your plate with vegetables, fruits, and whole grains. Limit foods like red meat and processed meat. Being physically active reduces your risk for many cancers. It can also help you maintain a healthy weight. Aim for at least 30 minutes of physical activity 5 days a week. If you don't smoke or use tobacco products, don't start. If you do smoke, even occasionally, it's never too late to quit. Your health will improve immediately and continue to improve over time. The HPV vaccine is the best protection against HPV-related cancers. All boys and girls between 11 and 12 years old should get the HPV vaccine. The best way to protect yourself against skin cancer is to limit your exposure to the sun's UV rays and eliminate tanning bed use. If you must be in the sun, use sunscreen with SPF 30 or higher. If you have a family history of cancer, you may be at increased risk. Talk to your family about their medical history so your doctor can assess your risk and help you take precautions against cancer. Screening exams help detect cancer early when it's most treatable. Talk to your doctor about the appropriate screening exams for you based on your gender, age, and risk factors.
Now, if a person is only listening to that type of advice, they're probably going to get cancer because they're leaving out the most important element of consciousness. And you can do all those things, and I've met many, many people who are doing those things, exercising, eating certain foods, blah, 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 and they still got cancer. Why? Because they were not aware, they were not conscious of the law of the body here presented in this chart of German medicine. Now, here's another one reason why we need to prevent cancer from the internal perspective versus external. Because this one's about, quote, medical miracle that has a breakthrough in curing cancer. Bullshit is what it is.
Let's talk about something a little more cheerful or hopeful. There has been a breakthrough in cancer cure. A clinical drug trial recently healed 14 patients of cancer. All patients had stage 2 or stage 3 rectal cancer. After 6 months, cancer vanished from all 14 patients, that too without chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. And our next report tells you about what's being called a medical miracle.
Cancer. This six-letter word is among the most feared, and understandably so. Cancer kills nearly 10 million people every year. These are mothers, fathers, partners, and family members. Nearly one in every six deaths is due to cancer. So when a medical trial completely heals cancer, it is nothing short of a miracle. Imtiaz is one of the 14 patients who were part of that clinical trial.
My doctor told me that this is something could possibly change your whole life.
All patients involved either had stage 2 or stage 3 rectal cancer. They were injected with a drug every 3 weeks for 6 months.
Okay, that's enough of that. Okay, if you listen to that, what's the medical miracle? A new drug. Of course. And it's cured your cancer. Yay. Bullshit. Because what we've learned over the past 10, 20 years is that emotions are energy in motion. And that when my friend was diagnosed with leukemia, she recognized right away the energy of unforgiveness that she was holding on carrying for many, many years. You have other cancer patients who realize that they've been holding on to anger for many, many years. So here's one, I didn't even play, that was a longer, but medical miracles when they say, oh, we found the cure. Yes, it's a drug, it's a new drug, and it's cured. But guess what? If you don't deal with the unforgiveness and the 10 systems that we talk about in German New Medicine, and if you're still eating versus nourishing this temple, this sacred temple, guess what? That medical miracle will be a joke because your cancer will come back. So here's one that is finally getting to more of the cause of cancer and how to prevent it. This audio, I think, is about 3 years old, but it begins to address the real issue of stress and inflammation.
While it's not possible to prevent all cancer, research has shown that there are ways to reduce your risk of getting cancer through things you do and things you can avoid doing in your everyday life.
When we think of cancer risk, That refers to things that can cause us to get cancer. When we think of cancer prevention, that refers to things we can do to reduce our risk of cancer. There are some things that we have control over and some that we don't. I want to talk about the things that we have control over in terms of cancer risk factors. These include what are called lifestyle factors. It refers to smoking and diet and exercise.
Smoking is one of the leading causes of several types of cancer, and quitting smoking is one way to significantly reduce your cancer risk.
I recognize in my practice that quitting smoking is the hardest thing that people ever do, and all too often we dismiss that and say you just have to have more willpower. The good news is that there are programs and people who can help with this, and that if you want to quit smoking, you can connect with a healthcare provider who will help you do that.
Maintaining a healthy diet is also an important way you can reduce your risk of developing certain types of cancer. And that may not be as complicated as you think.
In terms of cancer prevention, diet is very important. I talk to a lot of people and there's confusion about what diet is the best to prevent cancer. But we can simplify this to say 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day is the best way to reduce your cancer risk. This is because fruits and vegetables contain what are called phytochemicals, and these are the chemicals that help the body and help the immune system resist cancer. Some people read about supplements and think they can get their phytochemicals through supplements, but it turns out that they are more effective if they come in the course of fruits and vegetables in a normal diet. So our message is, let your kitchen be your medicine cabinet and work on those 5 servings a day.
Another lifestyle factor that can cut your risk of developing cancer is regular physical activity.
What we're talking about is a conscious effort to exercise 15 or 30 minutes a day where you're walking at a brisk pace or doing some form of moderate exercise. One way to know whether it's moderate exercise or not, you want to walk at a pace where you can carry on a conversation with someone, but you wouldn't have enough breath to sing a song. The experts have found that 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, for 150 minutes a week of exercise has been helpful in reducing the risk of cancer. So my message would be to find a way to work into your routine, getting that 150 minutes a week. It's different for different people, but I encourage all of my patients and myself and my family and friends to set aside that time and make it a priority as if it were a medical prescription in and of itself. If exercise were a drug, it would be a billion-dollar blockbuster, but it's something we can do for free if we can just take the time to do it.
Trying to control the amount of stress in your life is also important when it comes to lowering your risk of developing cancer. Talk with your doctor about stress reduction programs that may be right for you.
Stress reduction refers to those things that we can do in our lifestyle that reduce the amount of inflammation in our body. And the scientists have shown that you can measure cortisol and other inflammatory chemicals in the body, and these contribute not only...
So instead of putting the most important up top, he listed the most important at the end, stress and inflammation. So we are going to look at more in the next hour, what is stress and inflammation and how is it called? Because that's the key to preventing cancer. My journey with my sister, especially, my sister was a health nut, my older sister, 5 years older than me. She was a health nut. She didn't smoke for one. And her diet was all organic, strict organic. She was just really anal and very particular about eating certain things, exercise. She was a physical education instructor. But the stress of being a single mom and then the death of her only child threw her body into what is now the 2.26 million women die of breast cancer or are diagnosed with breast cancer, 2.21 million lung cancer, 1.93 colon and rectal, prostate is 1.4, skin cancer 1.2, and stomach 1.0. So my sister's health nut lifestyle didn't save her from being diagnosed with breast cancer, because I've learned that breast cancer, why does it show up in the breast? Because it had to do with the nurturing and caring energy that she was giving to her daughter was cut off in one day. And that shock, that stress, that was the stress that caused her body, and even those 10 systems in her body, to work together to produce tumors in her breast that ate right through her breast skin because she never healed her guilt, unforgiveness, and grief. So that's just one case that I've observed over 37 years. All these audios we've heard today from so-called professionals in the medical system will give you all these ideas about smoking, diet, exercise, stress, and then the key is now stress and inflammation. What is it that causes the body to be inflamed? It's not just smoking. It's not just diet. And exercise is not going to cure anything, but inflammation is primarily caused by toxic emotion. So we're going to talk about that in the next hour, have a little bit less than an hour, and how we manage that. Because that is the key to preventing cancer. It's managing the inflammation that those 10 systems in your body have to manage when you don't manage your reaction and your response to things, circumstances, to life's journey. So we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back after this break.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you.
And let me go to the next one.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining me. Cancer is on the increase. That's the news I keep hearing every week. And some people say that because of the jabs that people got, that's one of the root causes of cancer on the increase. But basically, I believe that becoming more conscious, as Ezekiel 43 points out, of the system, of the temple, this complex network of 10 systems inside of us, has to be respected more. And my experience has been people are eating, stuffing this temple with all kinds of crap and chemicals and not paying attention to the emotions, the energy in motion that is running this system that will prevent the disease when we pay attention to the energy in motion called emotions. And the stress that many people have to deal with, the death of a child, the loss of a job, rectal cancer. I played the audio about the miracle drug for rectal cancer. I had a client when I was cleaning houses. I had a client who was diagnosed with rectal cancer. And I was cleaning her house for about 2 years. Her husband was had a stroke. He had to be, he was unable to work anymore. And she was working all the time trying to make up for the income. And when she finally got diagnosed with rectal cancer, I discovered that she was really pissed off at her husband, who was on the couch every time I would come to clean the house. This man's laying on the couch, he used to be a priest. They married. It was a long love story. And she was really angry. She died eventually because her sister told me that she hated her husband for not being able to continue the income level that she had gotten used to because of his stroke. So rectal cancer is about hanging on to hate, anger, bitterness, whatever. You're hanging, let's put it literally, rectal cancer has to do with holding on to too much shit in your colon. And that's emotional crap, not just the physical crap that's coming through and constipation. We're talking about holding on to too many emotional issues, like hating your husband because he can no longer help you live the lifestyle that you wanted to live. And that was what her issue was, hate against her husband. She held on to that for years, and it showed up in her colon. That is the complex nature of the 10 systems working in our body that we are unable to process because we haven't learned how to process it. And that's what I help my clients do first and foremost, is understand the systems behind me of German New Medicine that start when you have a shock. When you have a shock like losing a child, my sister demonstrated for 9 months about this system, how it works, this complex network of systems. When her daughter was hit by a car, went into the hospital, died. She's watched her daughter have a cardiac arrest and die. 3 years later, she had 3 lesions. She had 3 tumors in her brain. And that's what caused her to lose her motion on one side of her body. And we're like, where's the 3? Well, one of those lesions showed up when her daughter, the shock of watching your daughter have a cardiac arrest. That was one. Another one was the shock of being diagnosed with breast cancer. And then I think the third one was the shock of losing motion in the right. What happens, according to German New Medicine teaching, is every time you have a shock like that in your life, it shows up in the brain first, and then the message from the brain goes to a particular area of the body, the breast in her case, her side, her right side in another case. And then some other area, I forget what it was, in another case, the complex network inside of us, if we don't understand how it works and protect it with loving, compassionate, forgiving emotions, then that cancer can show up. I don't care how many gallons of alkaline water you're drinking, which is what my sister was doing to try and overcome the cancer. Drinking gallons of juicing raw foods every day, eating big salads every day, reading the Bible every day, all of that, but not working on her guilt, unforgiveness, and guilt. So can we prevent cancer? Absolutely. Do you want to prevent cancer is the question. Do you want to concentrate on the systems of medical miracles and drugs? And that's what people need when they don't do the prevention work. You're going to need a miracle unless you have the discipline to bring the 10 systems back into balance, and that requires consciousness and work. So we've got a couple of callers. Let me go to the phones. and get your comments or questions. 706-202, I believe that's my brother Kwame Sunhorse. Welcome.
Grand Rising, Sister Beata. And, you know, I've listened to the clips that you've played, and I've listened to you describe this word, cancer. And it's looking at the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. The definition, you'd split the word in half. And to look at what does the word can mean. Can means be physically and mentally able, know how to. You look at the word sir. That's the ending word. And you've touched on it. Sir means, the definition of sir is a noun, an emotional response that has been acquired by conditioning. And
wow.
Sir means an emotional response that has been acquired by conditioning. Those two words tell you the whole disease. You're saying it, but it's in the word.
Absolutely. Wow. That's really powerful and deep. And they use that to scare people. Isn't that interesting?
That's the energy of that word. By telling a person that in your unconscious mind, definition is internalized. And what it's doing is that an emotional response, that's what SER stands for, S-C-E-R, means an emotional response that has been acquired by conditioning. Put a person in those conditions and their body can no longer provide the protection and it'll attack itself.
Wow. And that's exactly what the program is running when you start multiplying cells that are called tumors or the program that is run called ulcers that reduces the amount of cells depending on the type of emotional response. Wow, powerful. Thank you, Kwame. Perfect, perfect. And what happens is we react to these situations in our lives, and we become motivated by advertisement and doctors and the routines of going to a system, a medical system that says, oh, you need radiation. Oh, you need chemotherapy, which is just a number of drugs that man has created to respond to your reaction to the life circumstances. Wow, that's really powerful. Thank you. Someone's asking for a link or something. So anyway, thank you so much. I'm going to go to the next caller. That is so powerful. I appreciate that so much. 111, your mic is open. Hello, your mic is open. Your mic is open one more time. 111, your mic is open.
Shalom greetings, how are you?
You sound at a distance. Can you get closer to the phone?
Can you hear me now?
It's better. It sounds like you're in a vacuum, but go ahead.
Oh, no. Anyway, wonderful show. It's touched on a lot of things. You know, one of the things that's interesting, and I don't understand how people don't have any forgiveness. You know, it can affect you within so badly, you know? And why it amazes me, because it's like you're going to let somebody you're angry at have that much power over you and you can't move forward? I mean, like you said, the lady that was angry at her husband because financial situation changed. That seems so petty, but it affects you so seriously. I think maybe we need to regress and take a look at ourselves and the errors we made in our own life. That should allow us to have some room for forgiveness. Wow, what a world we live in. I guess that's why people just kill each other and stuff at will now. They not only see all that violence on TV and movies, but they act it out. That's why it's kind of interesting. Even when you have a so-called good movie like Woman King, can you watch all that violence to get anything out of it, you know? So I just wonder, what is it about humanity that does not allow them to have this peace, harmony, and unity that they need? Everybody's in this competition state, trying to outdo someone else or be better than somebody else, but we all have to live collectively. So we all have to get along. We should drop the religion, and all of us will find we have something in common because we're just human beings. What happened? That people are just forgetting
you know,
to
I
be
would ask, let me ask you a question, because I think the answer to your question is this. What was your childhood experience with your parents? Our parents, some people don't believe this, but our parents had teachers. They had their grandparents. They had their parents. Whatever belief system we have today came from, most of us, it came from our great-grandparents, our grandparents, or our parents, whoever was in that household, or the values that our parents gave to us as our caretakers. That's what influences people to forgive easily. That's the beginning, first seven years of life. What was your first 7 years of life, Obadiah, in terms of what your parents taught you on how to forgive or not? That's the key there to your question. What did your parents teach you, not just in their words, but their lifestyle? If you were sent to church to learn about I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell, then those people today are the ones who have cancer because they haven't been able to overcome the shame and guilt that they carried all these years from going to church for the first 7 years. You're a sinner and you need a savior, and it's Jesus. That's the preaching and the teaching that has confused a lot of people today who had a lifestyle that was not very pleasing to themselves, first of all. They learned the church would say, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. So what did you learn, Obadiah, in the first 7 years of your life that taught you to forgive, as you so greatly explained, and that maybe other children didn't have that in their household and they were confused?
Well, I just wanted to add one other thing. First of all, as far as I was fortunate, I had a mother that was a forgiving person. She cared about everybody. I mean, I could be walking down the street, and my mother saw somebody throw something on the ground, and she didn't even know them. She would look at them like they were crazy, and then they had to turn around and pick it up. Oh, I'm sorry. She didn't say a word. She just didn't appreciate people being disrespectful to anybody. So I might have been blessed, but this is an interesting piece because what about modern times? This so-called COVID virus they did the last 2 years.
You're not answering. Sorry, Obadiah, you're not answering my question. I said, what was your personal experience?
I
said about forgiveness. You said why you don't understand why people are unable to forgive. What did your parents teach you? Not what your mother did with other children. What did your parents, your mother and father, teach you about forgiveness?
You're able to share today
about how easy it is for you to forgive.
I was taught to be, you know, empathetic towards other people and care about the worst people. My mother, she would give me Kleenex and stuff to give to somebody if their nose was running and all this type of stuff. So she was teaching me to care about other people. Maybe that's the answer.
Okay.
You know what I mean? By caring about other people, you can let them, you can forgive them. What are you going to do, hold over them the rest of their life?
Well, thank you, Obadiah. That's the type of experience. If you had a mother and a father who were always talking about forgiveness, or better yet, demonstrating forgiveness, many parents that we grew up with were incapable of even talking on that level of forgiveness. Alcoholic, many of us grew up with incest in our lives. So how are you going to forgive when as a four-year-old you were molested by your grandfather? And that's the type of situation we've heard for years now, that back in the late 20s and 1900s, there was so much incest going on in the communities in the United States that your head was spinning now. They made movies about it, so forth. I think The Color Purple had something to do with that. But now we understand the influence that our grandparents' parents had on us for good or bad, that they did not teach many of us how to forgive. They did not teach many of us how to manage our emotions. something tragic happens to you as a teenager or even a 7, 8, 4, 5-year-old, and you go home and you stare out the window because you don't know how to process the emotions of what happened to you. And your parents can't help you because you don't want to tell them. So then we end up lying all our lives because that experience taught us to just keep it to yourself, don't tell anybody, and then you stuff the emotions and you don't process them. And so the rest of your life, you're telling lies and making people think you're something that you're not. Those are the type of experiences that many of us grew up with. And that's why today we're learning how to prevent a disease, as Kwame pointed out, is it about an emotional response. Many of us, according to some of the best teachers, did not learn how to develop emotion, mature emotions when we were growing up. There are many, many professionals today teaching, especially Dr. Debbie Green, our Thursday morning host. She's helping us understand why we have these diseases and mental problems, because as children, we did not learn how to develop mature emotional responses. My grandson, just last night, again, it's 9 o'clock, time for him to go to bed. He's on his tablet. I walk into the house. I say, it's time for you to get off your tablet. You're supposed to be calming down with some nice music. And I had to tell him more than once, it's time to get off. I don't know where his dad was, doing it in his phone or something. Time to get off your tablet. And he says to me, I hate to. Ah, here we go again. I said, okay, I love you, but Grandma's going to tell you something. And then I actually took the time to say, why? And then he tried to hit me with a towel. He was swinging a towel, trying to hit me. Now, this is a six-year-old. This is the behavior of a six-year-old, which I'm observing many adults have in a different way. They get angry because you triggered them or pissed them off. And this is the six-year-old immature emotions that if they're not checked now, that he's going to grow up and be acting like that when he's older. So I had took the time to ask him, why do you think you need to hit Grandma with a towel? And he looks at me, and I'm still asking him, I need an answer. Why are you angry? He said, I'm not angry. Yes, you are angry. I'm able to just talk to him very calmly. I don't yell at him anymore or his sister. Why aren't you able to tell me? Can you tell me, I asked him, why you want to hit Grandma with a towel? And why are you angry? I'm not angry. This went on for about 5 minutes. Why are you angry? Can you tell? And he finally said, I don't know why I had wanted to hit you with a towel. And I had to explain to him, it's okay for you to be angry. It's okay. Just admit it. It's okay. These are the type of conversations we did not have as children, where someone was conscious enough to interact with you, looking you in the eye and say, it's okay, you're angry. I understand. You know what happened when we were children? The belt came out. Because if your child, back in the day when we were growing up in baby boomers, if you said to your mother, I hate you, or tried to hit her with anything, guess what? The belt came out, or go out there and get me a switch off the tree so I can whip your behind. There was a little boy in a video that I passed around. A little boy in diapers. This was in a foreign country, I found out. I looked up the person who posted it. Foreign country, little boy in diapers, pulled this little girl up who was also in diapers and acted like he was a boxer and punched her in the face and knocked her down. The little girl just started crying. And I was like, what the fuck? What? And obviously, this little boy, and he had on a wife beaters T-shirt with diapers on. And obviously, this little boy is being trained to be violent against women in diapers. And those are the type of moments that just make me angry, that where is the parent? What is the parent teaching that little boy that he would pull a little girl up off the floor who's in diapers, and she's standing there innocently, and then he punches her in the face? That's what happened to many people today who have been diagnosed with cancer. And they never process that violence or that abuse. We're done with that now on Healing, Health and Wellbeing with Viata. We're going to learn how to process the old emotions from childhood, number one, and then to teach our children to understand why they're angry and to express themselves in a way that they don't have toxic emotions so that later on in life they can develop cancer. No, we're not on my watch. That's why I'm here. We're not going to have that on my watch. All you in denial that your childhood didn't affect who you are today, your addictions, your toxic relationships, all you people in denial, you hold on to that and see how far it gets you. I'm here to help people come out of their childhood attitudes, childhood beliefs, that you can punch somebody in diapers and not pay for it. So that's who I am, and I'm grateful to have this platform, and I'm grateful that so many of you show up to share your experience and listen and grow, because that's what we all need therapy. I had an alcoholic mother. I've been in therapy from being in a household with alcoholic mother for probably 30 or years or more. I had to process the sadness from that experience. And then my need to have promiscuous activity, not getting nurtured enough. We all need therapy. Don't lie and say you don't need therapy and you're a baby boomer. You're lying. Our parents were alcoholic, incestors, and all kinds of crazy behavior. Stop lying and admit you need therapy. Get the therapy, heal your addictions, and get out of those toxic relationships that are not your, where you're not able to be your conscious, healthy self. Phones, before we go to the break, 773-366, your mic is open. Welcome.
Yes, well, I know you got to take a break, so I'll wait till after the break, and then I'll come back.
Okay, thank you. That's Naima Latif, lovely voice we were listening to. And I heard her at 5:55 this morning while I was brushing my teeth. So it's always nice to hear her voice. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Thank you so much for joining. joining me today because we're at a crucial point of stress in this world that is creating cancer. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I have a friend who's in her 70s. She was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia in March, spent 4 months in the hospital, chemo, radiation. Now she's going through radiation. Her daughter had to do stem cell therapy. Brutal, brutal treatment, in my opinion, because, and as she read, she admitted, it was about an unforgiveness toward herself regarding a relationship with her ex-husband. Do you want to wait until you're in your 70s to get diagnosed with cancer and almost die? She literally almost died because she had held on to this unforgiveness toward her ex-husband, even though she was doing all these great things, taking supplements, the extra yoga, all that, and yet she had not dealt with the unforgiveness. Stop lying to yourself that you don't need therapy. It'll catch up with you. Why? Because Ezekiel 43, if you read Ezekiel 43, the word says there's a law of the body, of the temple. It calls it the temple. Just think of whenever you see temple in the Bible, it's your body, your sacred temple. Think of that as when it says the law of the temple. If you don't know the law of the temple, the Creator says you're going to be dealt with by your own energy. Your own hateful, unforgiving energy will deal with your sacred temple if you don't do some forgiveness. And dealing with the traumas that you experienced in your childhood, it will catch up with you, as it did with my friend. Now she's going through brutal treatment. You don't want to get to that point. That's why we're talking prevention. You get to the trusting a medical system that wants to use a new drug therapy and chemo and radiation, chances are you're not going to live long, and your heart will fail you, as my stepmother. This is one last testimony. My stepmother was diagnosed with cancer in 2019. Went through all the chemo and all that. Said, oh, the cancer's gone. And then 2 years later, her mother died. Then my father, her husband, died. And guess what? The cancer came back because the stress, she never dealt with the stress and all the other toxic emotions she was carrying. And now she's gone. This is a story. These are the stories I've heard over and over again. And that's why I push prevent, prevent, prevent. And as Kwame has shared with us, cancer is a reminder, reminder, reminder to have a healthy emotional response. So we have Naima Latif. Her mic is open. Our executive producer has a comment. Thank you, Naima.
Yes, and Grand Rising to everybody. And you know, I'm not sure which Facebook page you're on this morning, because I couldn't quite see it, so maybe you can tell us that as well.
I'm on my personal page as always.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I need to just log in again.
Personal page. I'm looking at it now, so I'm not sure why people are having trouble with that. But it's on my personal page.
Photograph that I should look for.
It's a picture of my dad and my sister and my dad and my brother.
Okay, I'll find it. Yes, well, you know, listening to some of the remarks that have been made about anger and holding on to anger and how that is the direct route to cancer. And we were talking about this yesterday, the fact that most of us were raised by parents who beat us and then demanded that we stop crying and beat us more if we sat around and pouted about it. So we were conditioned not to be able to express anger, especially at our parents. I mean, we could never have said to our mother, I hate you, without a beating, or our father, I hate you, without a beating. So having to suppress anger throughout our lives, we learn that expressing anger is punishable by physical violence. And as a result of this, we see more of us getting cancer. So one of the things that motivated me to create a course, which, you know, we'll be launching shortly and talking about it, is the homeschool program online, New Earth Homeschool Academy, which stands for, New Earth stands for Natural Environment Wholesome Education, Awakening Responsibility to Humanity. And I've just been certified by HWPL to teach Peace Education, which is a 12-lesson course on peace and conflict resolution and ways to handle discomfort and ways to handle disagreements in a way that doesn't cause injury. And, you know, even those who are attending public school can still will still be able to take this course at home or teach it at home. But a prerequisite to this course is a parenting course that I've created. And, of course, we're in the process of finishing that, and we'll be having our host team as, you know, part of that process and presenting some of their expertise, yourself included. But one of the things that's critical in this first course we're launching, Parenting with Peace, is to learn how to guide a child without using physical violence. And most people cannot conceive of that because they don't realize where their desire to inflict violence comes from, and it comes from their own ego, the own feeling of, I must show you that I'm in charge. I must control you. How dare you disrespect me by defying me or showing me emotions that I don't approve of? And that egoic way of looking at another living soul who's come through you for this earth experience is incorrect. But we don't know it's incorrect because we don't understand that every living being has a free will. And our job as parents is to lovingly guide the free will of a child so that they can develop into their best creative expression. It isn't to beat down or crush their spirit. It isn't to prove that we're boss over them and we're in charge because we need to control something because we don't feel in control of ourselves. It's to guide them. And when they express a thought that's different than our thought or belief, it isn't to punish them or beat them down. It's to teach them and help them learn. So one of the first things in this course is examining what's inside of you. Because unless you get rid of the ego that makes you beat a child, you won't be able to teach the rest of or learn the rest of the process of correcting with love. Because their first thought is, no, I'm not going to let that child talk to me that way. I'm not going to let a child disrespect me. I'm not going to let a child say that. If that's still in you because of whatever your parents put in you, then you won't be able to properly guide and teach and lovingly help a child develop. So this parenting course, Parenting with Peace, is really to change the whole mindset of what we're doing with the children that come through us. And the first thing is to examine what's in ourselves that makes us beat a child because they're not doing what we decide they should be doing. And it really is, it involves a whole change of mind because we know we were raised by parents who 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 were enslaved and beaten.
Yep.
And so that's all they know. You're supposed to suppress the free will of a child so that they can obey, so that they don't get beat to death for disobedience. And it's time for us to erase that mindset. It's time for us to erase that programming. And it's time for us to heal the hurt in us that came from not being able to express anger at injustice levied at us, often by our parents. So look forward to us announcing. And, of course, we'll be contacting you for your portion in that Parenting with Peace class. It's also a 12-lesson program taking a person from the beginnings of planning for inception all the way to a child attaining the age of 18. So I'm really looking forward to presenting this to the world through the platform Teachable and changing the way we raise our children and changing what we produce in the world so that we can have a better world by not having people raised with violence, but only
absolutely
with love.
Absolutely. And Naima, the truth is that our ancestors, our grandparents, great parents did not have emotional intelligence. They did not have the ability to respond consciously to the behavior of their children that was not acceptable or that was angry or that was emotional. Instead, all they knew was to react like their slave owners and all the other oppressors. They knew to react with a switch or a belt or some or ironing cord. I just can't even imagine kids being, I didn't have that experience, but there's a lot of, I've heard a lot of testimonies about that.
That's a savage way to see a child. I can't look at my daughter today. I cannot imagine beating her with an ironing cord. I cannot imagine. But I grew up with parents that believed in hitting. And so having examined where that thought comes from, a lot of it comes from a core incorrect belief about God, believing that God punishes and beats and tortures and causes pain. And when you believe that, when your religions teach that, then, of course, everything else becomes justifiable. Well, God loves us, and God tortures people to punish them. And, you know, God, I mean, really, you have to dissect that.
I have to admit,
belief in order to
Naima,
not.
I thought of you, Naima, last night because I wanted to pinch my grandson. But I thought of Naima. Naima would not approve of this. So I just.
I'm so glad I saved your grandson from a pinching.
I had to stop and just take a deep breath because he took a towel and swiped at me, and then he's, "I hate you," and I took a deep breath and I said, "Naima, need to respond."
But you know what? The things you say about your grandson, I mean, he's saying that phrase, "I hate you," for things, you know, so is it a phrase he learned that doesn't really mean that, or is there anger underlying something else? And at some point, you'll be able to help him express his real thoughts, you know, where is that coming from? Because that's coming from somewhere. I mean, okay, I lose the game. A chest, and I hate you, you know, something else, I hate you. So, you know, what is that? And or did he hear that being said by some adults when they're angry? You know, at some point you'll be able to unravel where that comes from and help him to understand.
You know what that means, Naima? I'm in school, Naima. I am the student with this grandchild. This is the beauty of the relationship I have is I'm not always the teacher with these grandchildren. They're teaching me a new way to respond to their behavior that is not always pleasant, but that's the beauty. Thank you, Naima. I got another caller. That's the beauty of becoming conscious in our relationships is we don't get into unconscious behavior when they react to with anger, I hate you, swinging a towel. We don't get into unconscious behavior. We become more conscious. We get deeper. How am I going to respond to this behavior? 6-year-old now. Now, if this 6-year-old draws me into, I'm going to whip your behind, then there's something wrong with me, not him. So let me go to 783. Mic's open. Welcome to Health and Wellbeing.
Hello there, Grand Rising, sisters from the past here. Wendy Williams, how are you?
Wendy Williams, how are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to throw something real quick in there. Good to hear from you. I'm on vacation, no less, right? So I'm up listening to the show because I'm out of my time zone. I'm out of the time zone there, so I'm in a position to kind of listen to the show.
Good for you.
I'll be doing it more often and just kind of sticking my head in the door seeing how you guys are doing. But real quick, it's so good to hear that we have seminars and learnings and moments where we can teach each other how to correct some of the bad behavior that we have learned from you know, generations and generations back, which will put us probably on a slave ship coming forward with this bad behavior and the way we have literally decimated our families from this learned behavior. The learned behavior comes from surviving you know, the brutality of peculiar brutality of American slavery. I'm making some distinctions now because of the movie The Woman King and the Bible. I'll come back to all of that later with a book called The Color of Compromise. The Color Compromise. You know, I like to come with the books. It's subtitle is The Truth About the American Church's Complicity in Racism. The Truth About the American Church's Complicity in Racism. It's called The Color of Compromise by a Jamar Tisby. Jamar Tisby, J-E-M-A-R-T-I-S-B-Y. Jamar Tisby, The Color of Compromise, The Truth About American Church's Complicity in Racism. You know, I didn't realize until I started reading the book, The Color of Compromise, just how detailed and how deliberate the behavior was to suppress our free will in order to enslave us for long lengths of time in order to make a profit. And that's just slavery in a nutshell. We were beaten and suppressed. Our free will was beaten, taken away from us. We knew no better. We continued that behavior until we get to 2022. You know, my show was about the same thing. Here, this is about parenting a child. Mine is about, my show was about the relationships between us, men and women, the two parents, and what they bring forth to the next generation that they produce in terms of children. It's so clear now. It's almost like I should have had a V8. You know what I mean? I get it. I totally get it. So I hope whatever this, seminar and program that Sister Latif is going to be running, I hope that it will address all that, and I hope you guys get your hands on the books, The Color of Compromise, so you can see, you know, they got to find another word for systemic, because this was systemic, deliberate selfishness and ego on the part of the slaveholders, the slave traders. They just were interested in the money, and we got movies like Woman King that's coming out with the story, albeit there's some, you know, concerns about the angle and the creative license that the white female took in telling the story, but nevertheless, it was true about the kidnappings and so on and so forth. But the deliberate harm, you're going to see that in The Color of Compromise. The Africans didn't have anything to do with that. Getting us on the boat, but right after that, you could have still exercised some humanity for the next 600 years. Yes, that's right. It's coming out that we were brought over here long before 1619, and I don't know how much more of this I'm going to be watching SpongeBob cartoons before this is all over, because I can't take it anymore.
Thank you, Wendy.
You will see the deliberate.
Yeah, I wrote down
see
that
the deliberateness, the color of compromise, and then there's another one out about the color of law that came out some time ago, but it's resurging now. The Color of Law by Robert Rothstein, The Color of Law. That's going to talk about how they move us around with real estate laws. And then the third one is The Color of Money, Black Banks and the Wealth Divide, The Color of Money. So, you know, you can't get it any more contained. Your free will can't be any more controlled when they control your spiritual beliefs. They tell you what you're supposed to believe. When they control the real estate, how you homestead, and when they control the lending institutions that help you,
Wendy has always wanted to give us some really good books to read. So I've got another caller. Yes. It's so good to hear from you. Thank you, Wendy, for sharing that. Let me go to this one more call. We only have a few minutes. And I want to get all the callers in. I appreciate you participating. 346. Mike is
Greetings. Who's this, Rashida? Rashida Ali.
Hello?
Okay, can you? Yeah, you got a lot of interference. So, okay, go ahead, speak. You said this is Rashida?
Yes, it is.
Okay, go ahead. Your voice is clear now. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, I like what you're speaking on today, and hopefully we can have a lot more seminars like the one that's coming up on parenting, because it's really needed, I believe, because there's so many violent acts, and I think it's installed from the DNA of slavery. That's my belief. And if we reprogram and re-educated from the miseducation, then we can sort of heal. So I like what you're trying to do and are doing. I want to make an announcement, though. Tomorrow we're having an all-day conference with 23 keynote speakers and vending. So I would like to invite those who are interested or who can attend to it. That's at 640 West Irving Park Road in Chicago. And we're having also a ticketed event for today with formal attire. So if anyone's interested, there's a website you can go on and register. But it's a fundraising event, and it's a lot of knowledgeable speakers, doctors, and imams, and a keynote speaker. She's a female doctor, Dayu. So everyone's invited to attend. I'm sorry I just got a chance to make the announcement, but I've been so busy myself.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Rashida. Anyone in Chicago?
May I give you the website if you're interested? You can register
today. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Huh? Okay.
Go ahead.
It's studyalislam.com/events. That's studyalislam.com/events, E-V-E-N-T-S.
All right. Thank you. That's in Chicago. Let me give you the final word for today's show. Here we go.
I believe that people who get diagnosed with cancer always have unresolved emotional issues that they haven't dealt with. Shock, trauma, and unresolved emotional issues can lead to cancer. Usually, there's a jar.
Now, that was the voice of a woman by the name of Alyssa Goodman. She's a holistic nutritionist, author of Cancer Hacks, Lifestyle Cleanse Expert. And that's definitely the bottom word for me in my experience. Unresolved emotional conflicts is what contributes to cancer. The challenge is, how do you manage those unresolved emotional issues? You know, this movie with Viola Davis is generating a lot of debate about now the African's role in slavery. I think it was Don Lemon who was interviewing a woman from Britain, a UK, who was telling him that the British were the first 20 years before America, the British abolished slavery. So we've got this debate now with people about whether the Africans should be giving reparations, because they played a huge role in the initial selling of people throughout the Middle East, not only to America, but to Arab countries and other places. Chiefs, African chiefs, were gathering up people they didn't want to be bothered with or they didn't like or whatever and selling them off to anybody and everybody. That's the reality of our history that we don't talk about. And then the key thing, though, takeaway I hope today is that even that needs to be forgiven. We can talk about reparations all day long, but the reparations may need to start in Africa because of the role they played. And we got a government that created the Trail of Tears with Native Americans here in this country, which is where I believe my ancestors started. We were here first. Before Columbus and all these other people who think they discovered anything. Nope, it was the Native Americans, indigenous people of my ancestry on my mother's side that were here in America. I do not consider myself an African American. I am now a Native Indigenous American, and I study meditation, observation, blah, blah. All of us have a role to play right now in correcting the crazy, insane behavior of our ancestors. Between the alcoholism, incest, the abuse, the ironing cords, all of it was like off the chain mental illness. It's our job now to correct all that with the new generation coming in. I hope this show has been helpful for you to prevent the disease that starts from our insane attitudes and our lack of emotional resolutions from our trauma. Everybody come back tomorrow. We have another blog show or email solution at noon Central Time. Until then, I'll see you on Sunday night. Old Purpose Healing at 8 here on email solution. Have a beautiful day. I'm going to now say thank you to our global family.
And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And
thank
to
you.
Our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche, India,
hey.
Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jean Cunyong, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.